Today we're going to look at a subject called the True Temple. And I'm taking this from a little magazine that I get, the Testimony of Truth magazine. I just couldn't improve on this article. It was written by Brother Curtis Dickinson. And there's no copyright on this that I could find, and I'm just going to be sharing this information with you, because I felt like it was so good. Christians in America have been raising millions of dollars to aid Israeli Jews to destroy a shrine sacred to the billions of Muslims and replace it with the great Jewish temple, which they call the Third Temple. And a late 1998 Israeli newsletter posted on a Voice of the Temple Mount website says its goal is the liberation of the Muslim shrines in the building on that site of a Jewish temple. This activity, of course, encourages the militant Zionists in Israel. It helps to make peace in that country an impossibility. It also stokes the fires of false prophecy and hinders a true understanding of God's word and his purpose. Solomon's temple, which replaced the portable tabernacle in the wilderness, had been the pride of Israel until its destruction by Nebuchadnezzar in 587 BC. But 5 centuries later, King Herod, that's the same Herod that later sought to destroy the infant Yahshua, completely rebuilt the temple. He used 1,000 specially trained priests as masons, and the work took 44 years. It was this temple of which Yahshua said, "There will not be one stone left upon another," Matthew 24:2. He spoke of the day of Israel's judgment, which took place in 70 AD. The order of worship and sacrifice in the temple had already become obsolete, of course. Christ's death on the cross ended the need of putting blood on the mercy seat in the temple, and Christ himself became the high priest and mediator between God and men. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 2:5. There we read, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ, Yahshua." Modern Israel has no relationship to biblical Israel, really. It was not established by Semites, but by descendants of the Khazars, who converted to a form of Judaism based upon the Talmud and not the Bible, in the 8th century, and eventually were found all over Europe. These were not Jews returning to their homeland, but political Zionists whose ancestors had never been in the land of Palestine before. Many Christians ignore these facts and promote the effort to rebuild the temple, thinking this will fulfill prophecy and hasten the return of Christ. Classic premillennialism teaches that animal sacrifices will be reinstated when this temple is built. Instead of a future temple in Jerusalem fulfilling prophecy, as many erroneously teach, there is already a temple in existence in fulfillment of prophecy. Zechariah prophesied that the man whose name is the branch shall build the temple of Yah, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and shall be a priest on his throne. Zechariah 6, verses 12 and 13. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, showed that Yahshua was the longed-for Messiah and King, and had been seated on the throne as David had predicted in Psalm 89:3 and 132:11. Let's look those up. Psalm 89:3. "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant." And 132:11. "Yah hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne." Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, David, that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne, he, foreseeing this, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that neither was he left unto Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Yahshua did Yah raise up, whereof we are all witnesses, being therefore by the hand of Yah exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he was poured forth this which you see and hear. This is quoting Peter in Acts 2:30-33. Yahshua has become a high priest who sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which Yah pitched and not man. Hebrews 8:1-2. The temple, its priests and sacrifices, were only types of the true spiritual things of the new covenant established by Yahshua. They are called copies in Hebrews 9:24, and let's take a look at that. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures or examples of the true or real one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Yah for us. So they are called copies or figures or examples in Hebrews 9:24, and a shadow of the good things to come in Hebrews 10:1. Let's look at that. In Hebrews 10:1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. The sacrifices would not take away sins. So Yahshua, the Lamb of Yah, offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Let's look at Hebrews 10:4, 10, and 12. Hebrews 10:4, for it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yahshua the Messiah once for all. In verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Yah. Under the law, or the shadow of good things to come, only the high priest could enter into the holy place, the second room of the temple. But Yahshua became a great priest over the house of Yah, according to Hebrews 10:21, reading 10:21, and having a high priest over the house of Yah, and after his resurrection sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews 10:12. And now all Christians are exhorted to have boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Yahshua. Hebrews 10:19. Reading 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yahshua. With the perfect sacrifice made once for all, according to Hebrews 10:10, and the high priest having entered once into the heavenly holy place, the temple in Jerusalem was rendered useless. As Yahshua died, the temple veil to the holy place was ripped from top to bottom, according to Matthew 27:51. That's Matthew 27:51, indicating that it was of no further significance to Yah. Let's look at Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent or torn in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were broken apart. Should the Zionists with their misguided Christian supporters, succeed in building their temple in Jerusalem, it would be a counterfeit and could serve no spiritual purpose whatsoever. The true temple in which Yah dwells is the redeemed believer, for he dwells not in temples made with hands, according to Acts 17:24. Peter wrote, "You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yah through Yahshua the Messiah." 1 Peter 2:5. The earthly stones of the Jerusalem temple are replaced by living Christians, in whom every building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in Yah, in whom you also are built for a habitation of Yah in the Spirit. Ephesians 2:21-22. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from Yah. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We are a temple of the living God, even as Yah said, "I will dwell in them and walk in them." 2 Corinthians 6:16. Only Christ could build the true temple, of which the material temple was only a type. For it is Christ who transforms and gives life to the new creature. It is He who adds to the church living stone upon living stone to become the spiritual house of Yah. So, what does it mean to be the temple of Yah? It means that you do not go to the church house to be with Yah. You do not go anywhere to meet Yah, because He is with you and abides in you through His Spirit. You do not enter the house of Yah when you go to church. You entered the house of Yah when you became a Christian. Nor do you leave the house of Yah when you go home from the assembly. You are part of the house of Yah wherever you happen to be, and wherever you happen to go. It means that you are in constant fellowship with Yah and with His Son Yahshua. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Yahshua the Messiah. 1 John 1:3. This is a personal, day-to-day relationship with the Almighty Father and with Yahshua, His Son, and our Master, the Creator of the universe. It means that Yah is always as near as your breath. If you are in Christ, then Yah abides in you through His Spirit. It is His desire to be near you, for He created you for His own pleasure, according to Ephesians 1:5. And let's look that up. Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Yahshua the Messiah to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. If you are thinking that maybe you don't want to be quite that close to Yah all the time, then perhaps you should heed Paul's advice. Try your own selves whether you are in the faith. Or know you not your own selves that Yahshua the Messiah is in you? Unless indeed you are reprobate. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Reprobate is a word that means worthless. It means that the temple, whether individually or as the entire congregation of Yah's people, does not depend upon material embellishments, cathedrals, forms, prestigious dignitaries of the world, nor upon the favors and works from the hands of men. The true glory of the temple is the beauty of holiness seen in the lives of Christians. Rather than speculate on what might or might not happen in the nation that calls itself Israel, it is better for Christians to concentrate on keeping the present and true temple of Yah holy and fit for His spiritual service. remembering that if any man destroys the temple of Yah, him Yah shall destroy, for the temple of Yah is holy, which temple you are. 1 Corinthians 2:17. The material temple was to be kept from pollution and reserved for those things which are pure in Yah's service. So is the Christian. His life is not to be a mixture of serving the world with service to Yah added as a holy day activity. Rather, it is to be fully consecrated for Yah's presence and work at all times. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is Yah who works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure." May Yah add His blessing on this study and on the reading of His Word. And may we come to the realization that the true temple is the redeemed believer. May we take this to heart and walk the walk as we talk the talk. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you and bless your holy name that there is a temple. There is a temple that has fulfilled prophecy. We're not looking for a material temple on earth, the third temple in the nation of Israel. But we are living stones being built up a spiritual house for Yah to dwell in. May we allow Yah to live in us moment by moment, day by day, until the Messiah comes to take us home. In Yahshua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.